Amen. You may have a seat. Wow. Wow. Happy Friday. Here we are. First Friday of November. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Has it been a great week of weather? Can we say it? Oh my gosh. It's going to change. All right. Hey, open up your Bibles, smartphones, to Matthew chapter 7. Verses 1 through 5, as we continue to listen to the voice of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. If you're using the Pew Bible in front of you, it's page 788. Keep them open. All right, as you're looking those up, this past week I had breakfast with some of you, some students, and during the conversation, I asked the students, what's the vibe on campus right now? And it didn't take long for all of them to agree around the table to say that November can be a very difficult and challenging month. I mean, think about it. The optimism and the shine of the new school year has kind of lost its appeal. Midterm grades have come out, so the academic pressure has shifted into fifth gear. And relationships, relationships in November, with roommates, with cluster mates, with teammates, with lab partners, with sorority sisters, fraternity brothers, can be a little more on edge, can't they, in November? It seems that our patience with each other kind of reflects the coming November days, cold and short. You like that? Yes. It seems that it's much easier, isn't it, in November to project or to assume things about each other rather than to do the hard work of communicating face-to-face. November, we all agreed that breakfast this morning can be a very crusty, snarky, critical, judgmental month. Can I get an amen on that? If you're feeling any of that this morning, Jesus has something to say to us today. Jesus, in our text this morning, is inviting us into a vision of how we can live within community, and it is a vision that's not just reserved for November. It's a vision that is to be lived out each and every day of our lives. So with that as a primer, listen to the words of Jesus to us this morning. Matthew chapter 7. Do not judge, so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment that you make, you will be judged, and with the measure that you give will be the measure that you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but don't notice the log in your own eye? Or why do you say to your neighbor, hey, let me get the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Do not judge. Do not judge. I don't know how many times I have heard people quote that text out of context to support their own agenda, whether it's contemporary culture quoting this text to support their virtues of tolerance and relativism, or whether it is a certain group or organization quoting this text as a way to shut down any dialogue that does not support their view or position. When Jesus says, do not judge, is he calling his followers to suspend all discernment and judgment? This seems contrary to the whole of Scripture, where the people of God are charged to exercise appropriate judgment. So what is Jesus inviting his followers into? To answer that, we need to understand the difference between judging negatively or unfavorably and judging favorably. Let's start with the Greek in our text this morning. Do not judge. When Jesus says do not judge in this text, he's using a cluster of words that implies a negative or unfavorable judging. It's the kind of judging that believes and expects the worst about others. It's a judgment that is spurred on by suspicion, fear, insecurity, and in many cases, pain and hurt. And the motive and the outcome of negative or unfavorable judging is to punish or to hurt, to belittle, to demean, or to hold power over others. This is the kind of judging that Jesus is charging his followers not to apply or implement in their lives. Rather, Jesus is inviting his followers into a vision of judgment which sees the good and the great potential in others. It is a judgment that is spurred on by a hope for others to prosper and to flourish, where the driving motivation and desired outcome is to build, strengthen, and restore relationships with one another. It's a judgment that gives the benefit of the doubt to the other. This is what we call judging favorably, and it is the total opposite of judging negatively or unfavorably. Do you know anyone like that who judges favorably regularly, consistently in their lives? A person who sees the best in others, a person who genuinely and persistently engages with others in such a way that it encourages the other to prosper and to flourish. Do you know anybody like that? I do. I don't know of anybody else in little Paul Boersma world that models that better, judging favorably, than my mother. I mean it. My mom sees things in other people that I don't always see. People who I may judge negatively or unfavorably, my mom sees something favorably in them that seems to be beneath the surface. It's like my mom has a certain kind of vision that sees the deeper places in other people, which makes me think that the difference between judging favorably and judging negatively or unfavorably has to do with our vision, which is exactly what Jesus is telling us in this text this morning. He says, don't judge others negatively or unfavorably by seeing the speck or the fault in their eye, but you don't notice the log in your own eye. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. How we judge each other has everything to do with our sight and our vision. And Jesus, in verse 5, wants us to see clearly so we can participate in helping our neighbor to prosper and to flourish. So let me teach you a little more Greek. The Greek word here in this text for clearly is diablepso. And it comes from two smaller Greek words, dia, which means through, and blepo, which means see. To see clearly literally means to see through. It is a call to see through something, to see something deeper, something more beautiful, something more real, which theologians would call the imago Dei, the image of God in each one of us. You see, when we judge favorably, we see through the outward faults, the outward limitations, the outward habits, behaviors, personalities, idiosyncrasies of our neighbor to the inward potential and goodness of our neighbor. Now, please hear me. To see through the outward is not to excuse the outward, but it is a willingness to believe that there is something deeper beneath the surface. And Jesus was doing this all the time with people that he encountered. The woman caught in adultery, the lame beggar, the prostitute, the demon-possessed man, people like you and you and me. Jesus has the vision to see through the outward to something deeper inside each one of us. So here's the closing question. So how do we get this kind of vision so that we can see clearly?
with our neighbor? You may be surprised by the answer that Jesus gives us in this text, because the answer is each other. See, when our vision is hindered or distorted by having something in our eye, we need somebody else to help us get it out. And how we go about doing that is crucial, because the eye, as we all know, is one of the most sensitive organs, and to remove anything from our eye demands great care, great gentleness, and great wisdom. You don't remove a speck in your neighbor's eye with a hammer, with a screwdriver, with a pliers. You do it gently with a tissue. And that's what the Apostle Paul tells us. Speak the truth in love to one another. You want to see clearly? I do. And good vision impacts the way that we see, engage our roommate, our cluster mate, our teammate, our lab partner, our sorority sister, our fraternity brothers, our professors, our students, our neighbor, with the desire to see them flourish and prosper, not only in November, not only in crusty, snarky, critical, judgmental November, but every month of the year. And when we do that, when that happens, this is the cool thing. When that happens, the kingdom of God is experienced right here on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that awesome? So go out and do it. Go out and do it today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.